This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, folks. Welcome to call number 14 of the CCT review plenary. Is there anyone that is on the phone that is not listed in the Adobe Connect? Roll call purposes. And then we have Barry in the observer room. Okay, great. So that was my other question. Are there any updates to anyone's statement of interest? All right. Excellent. I guess we'll go ahead and start with Jordan talking about where things stand with the competition and choice team. Jordan, take it away.
Thanks, Jonathan. We think today's update is probably going to sound similar to recent ones, but mostly with good news in that we're still waiting for several bits of data or analysis to land, but we're making pretty good progress across all fronts. On our last call last week, we discussed several data projects that are underway. And in particular, we had chartered analysis group with a number of individual projects, and they reported that they've started working on the first of those. They expected to maybe have some initial results to us by the end of last week or early this week. I haven't seen that yet, so they may be a little bit further behind schedule than they anticipated. I do expect to start seeing completion of individual projects from them relatively soon. We also know that the Nielsen registrant surveys in the field, and we expect to see results, at least a draft result for that, prior to the face-to-face meeting at the end of next month. And the other big two sort of big gaps in our data we've made some progress on as well. The first is we've been looking at how we can get parking data outside of the new GTLDs. We had a good conversation with NTLD Stats, who we've been looking at for parking data on the new GTLDs, and they've agreed that they may be able to track similar data, probably using a sample format as opposed to full TLD format, for some of the legacy TLDs. They sent around a proposal for us that seems reasonably priced and that we think should be able to be in budget, although I guess that we'll talk about that in topic number 3 on the agenda. And on the CCTLD front, I noticed that Dan had sent out yesterday, he's done a comparison of a few different data sources that we have right now, which are both the Zupnik data set and the Nominate data set, and done some cross-referencing between the two. Unfortunately, there's some inconsistent results, and we'll have to figure out how to work through that. But I think we're closing in on having CCTLD data that we can use along with GTLD data, which should be helpful. We are still looking if anyone has contact information for someone at Nominate to tell us how they built out all the data that they used for the map that we had previously, I think Dan had also previously sent around to the list, which we found very helpful. We're trying to see if we can baseline that data for 2016 versus the end of 2013. We also talked a little bit about using the template that Jonathan put together for the results of our analysis, which is, I think, topic number 4 that we'll talk about later today. I expect that I'm hoping by the end of this week to do an initial task of just looking at GTLD market share data, because that's data that we already have for both legacy and existing GTLDs. Dan's actually already run some of these numbers at a very high level, but just sort of writing that up in the template format that Jonathan put together so that we can see how, can put some miles on the template and see how it works. So nothing, no new revelations at this point, but steady progress across the major fronts of the analysis that we're doing, with the intent that when we get to the face-to-face meeting at the end of August, that we should be able to be looking closely at completed data sets and starting to talk about conclusions and what we expect to write up in the report. So I think that's it in terms of an update, and I'm happy to answer questions if folks have any. Oh, I will say the other brief update is next week, Elise is on vacation this week, but next week when she's back from vacation, she and Stan and I are going to meet together and just sort of go through our project list and make sure that we have got everything we need lined up in order to complete each of those projects. And so I think now that's officially the end of the update.
Jordan, do you anticipate being able to make some type of presentations? Because you don't anticipate getting a lot of writing done probably by the face-to-face, but sort of being in a place to make some presentations to the group, or what does the face-to-face look like, you think, for your presentations to the update to the larger group? In addition to the work that you'll be doing as your own team, if that question makes sense.
No, that does make sense. I don't quite know the answer. To some degree, it depends. So as I understand it, for example, the Nielsen Registrant Survey, we're going to get that data very close to the face-to-face meeting. And so I think it would be difficult to, in advance, come up with conclusions from that we're then ready to present to the broader group. On the other hand, I expect that the subteam itself will be able to have substantive discussions around how to make sense of the registrant survey while we're together face-to-face. There are other topics where we essentially have now all the data that we need, and or we're expecting the analysis to be done by analysis group in advance of the meeting, and so for some of those we may be able to do some presentations at the face-to-face. So I think it's going to depend somewhat on the state, sort of the timeline of when we receive the data. I guess I would certainly view it as desirable to, once again, as we did in D.C., spend a substantial amount of time in the sub, so we can use that time to sort of work through the data points and see if we're all interpreting it in the same way, in which case I would imagine either a future plenary call or whatever our next meeting after that is, we'd be able to make substantive presentations about what to do with the results of the project.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. Do you think that there's any, I guess we're doing the one sample, is there anything else on the project list that you think it'll be possible to begin to put into the templates and things like that, so that they've gotten some exercise in time for the meeting? Are there some of the projects which there's enough data to that's straightforward enough that it'll be possible to get some stuff written down?
Right. So we don't have a ton of those at the moment, but I do anticipate that will change over the next 6 weeks. So yes, I think we will be able to make some progress.
All right, any other questions for the competition and choice team? Oh, thanks, Jordan. All right. And but I guess the last thing is the NTLD stats data is the only thing you need to add to the request for funding, because we had the 18th as our deadline on that if we were going to try to go and get more budget. As it stands now, we're not trying to, and I just want to make sure we don't have any surprises.
Yeah, so I think that's correct. I think the one bit of data that we're still not locked down on is the TLD data. But since our last hope to get a more comprehensive data set on that is from Nominet, I guess I would be surprised that if Nominet had that data, they would charge us for it. I think either they'll be willing to share it or not, they'll have it or they won't. But given that they're a nonprofit that runs a surplus every year, it would seem odd for them to charge us for it. So I'm not anticipating additional requests for budget.
Okay, great. Anyone else? Thanks, Jordan. Drew, talk to us about what's going on in State Grads and Trust.
Good morning and good afternoon and good evening, everyone. So with Safeguards and Trust, the biggest news is that the DNS abuse study has been, the outline has been completed as far as what our RFP will look like, and that was circulated to the broader team last week. I didn't receive any feedback recommending any changes to it, so I'm not sure if everyone had a chance to look at it yet or not, but we would like that finalized today so that way we can go ahead and put that out there. And then we're hoping we'll be able to hopefully obtain a vendor fairly soon, and we'll be able to get data in the late fall starting to trickle in to inform our research, because it'll inform a lot of our chapters. So that's the big news, and so I encourage everyone on the call to take a look at that and provide me with any feedback that you can in the next couple hours. And then beyond that, looking at the best way forward for completing our assignments thus far. So there's still some outstanding stuff. We still need some people to fill in some of the charts we've been working on so that we can all have a snapshot of what things look like, such as race protection mechanisms and whatnot. But nonetheless, we're going forward with our discussion papers. And so I circulated a list of suggested discussion paper topics. And so if anyone has any feedback on that during this meeting, that'd be great to chime in. Otherwise, I'll be sending out that email as soon as this meeting ends with assignments. And so I've assigned group leads and other group members to help with the discussion papers. And so our hope is that our sub-team would therefore have definitely substantial written material by mid-August, and therefore we'd have the starts of actual chapters to discuss by the time we show up for our meeting in Vienna. And then lastly, propose some questions about voluntary picks that will add to any relevant surveys that we're sending out to registries or to applicants. And so if anyone has any feedback about that, feel free to chime in. But that should be relatively straightforward so that we can complete our research on PICS. And I guess that's pretty much where we stand.
Brian, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Just a question for you, Drew, and maybe the team as well. So as Drew mentioned, we're finalizing the RFP proposal today, and I'll be sort of looking at the timeline for it and making any updates to that. And I'm wondering we want to give whichever vendor we contract to sort of as much time as possible, and it's probably going to push the envelope of the CCT deadlines. And I'm wondering what's the sort of absolute latest date we could have a final report from this vendor. Yeah, so that's my question. Thanks. Hello?
Good question, Brian. I think what we're sort of looking at now is trying to have something on which people can comment here by the end of the year, because right now we haven't we're not putting out things for people to review, and that was some feedback from the GAC, and so we're going to put some structure of a document together that has holes in it, or preliminary findings at the end of the year to get public comment, and then I think a number of things will come in more in more final version than early in the new year. And so a final report is probably April sometime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had on the timeline basically a sort of preliminary draft by end of year, and so that's actually great. So will there be a public comment before the sort of April deadline, public comments on anything else that we should account for?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think we're going to share our preliminary report at the end of the year and invite public comment with the caveat that the report's not final, but just to give people a chance to see where we are and make adjustments and things like that before we finalize the report, you know, in the April timeframe.
Great. Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks.
We'll have to discuss whether there's then another, because there's new data or whatever, if there's another public comment at that point. But we're going to try hard to do a public comment at the end of the year.
Sure. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Anyone else with a question for Drew? Drew, can you drill in a little bit into the PicSpec discussions that you had with Aunt Ron Andruff, who was kind of fronting ALAC on this issue and stuff like that, because this is something that we've gotten some real feedback on and some recommendations that we're trying to carry forward, and maybe you could share that with the rest of the review team.
Yeah, great. Suggestion. I forgot that only happened maybe last week. So Jonathan and I, along with several members of ICANN staff, held a call with Ron, and he expressed concerns about whether or not our review team was going to look at the voluntary picks and actually see to what extent they were implemented. What did they actually say? How could you categorize them? Did they accomplish their purported goals? And also, how did members of the respective communities feel about them? So his example that he gave was, if, for example, .bank used a pick, how did banks think that public interest commitment actually achieved the goals that they had as an industry? And so how were those picks actually related to the different communities? And so Laureen was already working on this issue and already had tasked ICANN staff with coming up with some PIC data, which has now been circulated to all of us so that we could take a look and start categorizing it. But we also decided it would be a good idea to add PIC questions into any conversations we have with registries or with applicants. We could understand exactly, you know, what they sought to achieve when they used the PIC. And maybe it would shed light even on whether or not they sought some sort of competitive advantage. If two applicants were going for the same TLD and one of them, you know, asserted that they were going to do several more things in their pick, maybe that would be more attractive or not. We don't know. But that's something that we'd like to look into. And so for our sub-team, I circulated some questions, which I can circulate with the broader group. That are pretty simple questions that just ask, you know, what was the goal of the pick? Why did you incorporate it? And was this goal accomplished? How do you ensure compliance with the pick? And so that,
I think Alice has put a link to them in the chat.
Oh, great. Thanks, Alice. So that was the call. And Ron, just wanted to make sure we were looking into the issue.
Right, and so part of that analysis will be trying to find some sort of industry reps to look at the PIC specs to see if they're appropriate for that industry, right?
Yes, and so, as you're putting it, Jonathan, that's actually, I think the biggest challenge with it is, for some of them, is going to be figuring out who would actually be representative enough of the industry to give us some insight.
Great. Other questions for Drew? Drew, I see the staff have helpfully put up the work list, worksheet with lots of red text in it. Is there anything here that you need to highlight or draw anybody's attention to?
Yeah, I guess this would be more targeted at my sub-team, but there has been a lack of participation the past several weeks where I'm not getting feedback on things, nor is work being completed by the deadlines that we're setting, nor are there alternative proposals if the deadlines aren't working. So I'm just not getting participation at all or communication from many people. So I don't know if it's because of summer vacations or what, but just want to make sure everybody's aware of the fact that we have a lot of work to do before we meet in August to make sure that's a fruitful meeting. Otherwise, I think we'll be left unprepared as we go into Hyderabad. And that's where we're really going to face scrutiny from the community to make sure we've been doing a good job and been looking at the right things. So please, 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 everyone, pay attention to these deadlines. Make suggestions if you don't think that they're good or feasible deadlines. Make productive suggestions so we have something else that will work. Or contact me if you're having any trouble completing anything. Thank you.
Thanks, Drew. It kind of goes for everyone. If you make sure you look back and see what's been assigned to you, if you didn't volunteer for something, and let's try to really get on top of looking at things that are circulated, because the time is really moving past us, and we really can't get all of our work done on calls. There's a significant portion of this that has to happen as homework, and everybody's got to be a part of that effort. It's not enough just to show up for calls. We have to find a way to get some of the homework done, and so that we can get to a place where we're actually writing some work, and there'll be a bunch of writing to do. So that's just a general note out to everyone that we really need to stay on top of to-do lists and also be responsive when requests for comment on the mailing list are posted. Is everyone seeing them and then they're dropping off their radar? Is there anything that we ought to be doing to make the requests for comment more obvious or centrally located? Is there something that staff could do that is a page of things where people have requested feedback? Sorry, my
Hello?
Phone started. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was wondering if I was cut off. Sorry.
I missed what you said, unfortunately. Could you say it again?
I was just checking my line, Jonathan. I'm sorry. I thought I was cut off.
Okay. Does anybody have any ideas about whether it would be helpful for there to be a central repository of things on which people are looking to hear back? Alice, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Jonathan. I just wanted to flag that we have three dedicated pages on the wiki where we collect all the action items. So you can see who owns which action item and by which date and so on. So Pamela and I are posting the links here in the chat, but I can share that in the email as well. What we would suggest is whenever you complete an action item, please send a note to the CCTRT staff mailing list, and we'll make sure to check that box off for you. But, yeah, compiling everything on the wiki.
Thanks, Allison. I guess what I'm talking about are tasks that are not individually assigned. And when it's everybody, there's something that researchers refer to as the bystander effect, which is everyone thinking that someone else will speak up and then no one speaks up. And so that's what we need to try and change in addition to people doing their individual assignments. And so what I was wondering if there was a way to call out things that are were assigned to everyone, kind of, and with deadlines, so that if people had a few minutes, they could go in very quickly instead of going through back through their emails to find them, could like find that these are the things that were assigned to everyone to look at, and I can click on them quickly and to post a response. I'm just trying to think if there's a way, because I think what happens is they come out an email, people think they'll get back to them, they think other people will answer, and then a week goes by and no one has answered, and they're lost in their email at that point. I'm just wondering if there's a way to kind of collect those kinds of things together, like David Taylor circulated IP holders questionnaire, Drew and Brian circulated their the request for proposal on the DNS abuse study, and it didn't have it. There wasn't a specific assignment, but a general one. I mean, folks, tell me if I'm just talking crazy here, but I think this is one of those areas where email isn't working for us, and that it might make sense to have some way that everybody saw the list of things on which people were awaiting comment from the group as a whole. Does that make sense? Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, just sort of spitballing here, but perhaps some kind of tracking spreadsheet so people can kind of tick off that they've had a chance to take a look at something and say, you know, no comment, you know, if they don't have a comment on something. And if they do, maybe there could be a sort of column for them to add their comments. So it's all sort of in one central place. Just a thought, so we can kind of see who's doing things and who's not. That could put some pressure on people. Just an idea. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. I guess I wasn't as focused on naming and shaming yet as much as trying to figure out if there was a way to accommodate the fact that email requests just slip off people's radar. I guess that's my concern, that the well-meaning have just long forgotten that there was a request to look at X and such, because it wasn't, it didn't turn into an action item, and it certainly didn't turn into an individual action item. Maybe we can start a quick Google Doc that is, has things that the group as a whole are supposed to provide feedback on, and a date and a link to it. We can just be reminding people to go back and look at that Google Doc, to find the things in which there's sort of, outstanding requests for advice, from the team. Too many things just go completely silent, and we need that not to be the case anymore. So maybe, as Brian said, there's something with a sign-off sheet or something that you check because you've read it and don't have comments, or you check and say that you have given comments or something like that. So I don't know. I'll try to work with staff to figure out a way to centralize these sort of like requests for comments to the whole group, because they can't continue to just go unanswered. So if you're wondering whether or not you're expected to comment, the answer is yes. Okay. And then also, I guess the next thing that's sort of quasi-related to competition and quasi-related to trust is the IP holders survey, since it's come up. David, can you kind of give us an update to the whole team on where that stands and what the timing is likely to be, and also remind people that you have a list of questions out there that you wanted people to take a look at? Can I pass the mic to you, David? Are you back on? I saw an email you were having trouble connecting. Are you able to speak? It looks like you got a microphone. Okay. David's line is dropped. Okay. Maybe put a little note into the chat or something like that, David, or just let us know when you are able to communicate again, and let's try and get an update on that particular topic. That has some budget implications. I'll give my understanding of it. There is a list of questions that were drafted by INTA that David circulated to the team for feedback. And so let's try to give him feedback by the end of the week, if you can. If you can go back and find that email, or I will try to get it back up to the top of your top of your inbox. So provide feedback to him as well. My understanding is that INTA is full steam ahead and are interested enough in this that they're willing to pay for it. They don't want to commingle funds with ICANN. So this isn't potentially a budget item for us. And then finally, I think they're trying to get this in the field by the fall. In the September timeframe is when they're trying to get this survey of IP holders into the fall. Yes, as David reminds us, his original deadline was the 5th of July for feedback. So let's try to give him feedback, but he'll he will recirculate this and try to get feedback to him by the end of the week. And then, David, I guess you can confirm or deny, but I think September is when you said you thought you could get this survey into the field at INTA. And I guess you're constructing it in such a way that others beyond INTA could, at least at one point, others beyond INTA could also take the survey if they wanted to, if they were IP holders. So we're going to try to promote it beyond INTA, but INTA's funding it, and we'll make sure that they put it in front of their members. Because obviously, all right, great. Thanks, David. Goal to have it back by the end of September. So that's great. Obviously, as we were tasked by Larry to look at this as a cost-benefit analysis, between this and the DNS abuse study is where we're going to find a lot of the potential cost side of the program in order to do that kind of a balance test. So please take a look at the survey questions. Thanks. I'll stop harping. All right. And then are there any other pending things that people have asked for feedback on? Let's just use this time right now. Well, raise your hand if there's something that you're waiting to hear from the group on, so that we can remind folks right now to go back and look, and maybe circulate again if needs be. I circulated on Monday some questions that Aliza had posed with respect to GAC advice to make sure that she was on the right page on that. So I'm very interested in the people that are aware of the GAC-related questions. And David, you may be one of those people. I think the others are Laureen and Megan, so we don't have either of those folks on the call. But do take a look at Aliza's email to see if there's anything that jumps out at you there. Anyone else have anything to raise that they've circulated on which they're looking for feedback? So we've got the request for RFP, the request for proposal from Brian and Drew, survey questions from David, Lisa's questions, anything else? Okay. All right, thanks, folks. Any other questions for Drew? All right, thanks. And so the next thing on this agenda is looking at the data requests. And at this point, we have enough budget for the requests of which I'm aware. So if you are aware of work that's going to require additional funding, please speak up. The deadline for this was 2 days ago. We didn't get anything, but I forgot who it was that was working on something to get to me. I don't know if that was, it might have been Carlos. Are there any other pending data requests that we need to incorporate into the budget? Okay. All right, so at this point, we're not requesting additional funds for research because the additional funds that Margie allocated for this year appear to be sufficient for the things that we have, supplemental research that we're trying to accomplish. Okay. All right. Then agenda of item number 4 is unfortunately a little bit of an orphan. We were going to try to look at registration numbers across TLDs as a initial shot at the at using the templates, Jordan mentioned, we'll try to get that out by the end of the week and circulate it to the group to take a look at. But what I'm going to propose after conversations with Jordan and Drew is to just adopt the templates that we circulated on the last plenary call as the working templates, and then as we start to fill them out, we will see if there's changes that need to be made as we try to use them. So which we will be doing between now and fairly substantially between now and August, we'll be using them. So if there's a change that's required as a result of using the templates, then we'll make that change and allow them to be organic documents. Obviously, the idea here is to just come up with a standardized way of looking at information to make sure you have all the questions on the template answered. And then that can provide the underlying structure for a document draft. And then we will circulate. Stan has already done some drafting on a couple of issues, and so we'll circulate that as an example of some drafted text around a particular topic as well. And again, we'll keep them organic and dynamic and expand these documents as necessary. So if there are no objections, we're just going to adopt the templates that we presented next time, one of which is here, this hypothesis worksheet. And then there's another one that was more a research product driven worksheet, and we're going to adopt those going forward. Are there any questions about that? Any comments about that?
Hey, Jonathan, this is Drew. Quick question.
Yeah.
Do you think that we should use Google Docs for all of these so that for each discussion paper we should create a Google Doc of that template so that way people can check on each other's progress and, be working simultaneously? Or do you think it's easier based on your past experience with review teams just to be passing around marked up Word documents since it is just a small, since it'll just be a subset of a couple of people working on a paper?
That's a good question, Drew. I'm sort of inclined toward moving toward living documents because it'll be easier to find them later and have a repository of documents in process. So it's maybe less about editing and more about, you know, having them sort of listed in a way that everybody can get to them, as opposed to them floating around in email. So I don't know. I'm interested in other people's ideas on that, but I think I like your idea of making them into Google Docs because they're there in a central place. It becomes a kind of document repository, which is distinct, I think, from our wikis where we're, you know, putting, you know, different versions and things and they're not actively edited from the wiki. The wiki could potentially just click, you know, could, at least in the near term, have links to the discussion documents. Does that work for folks? Is there anyone for whom that's a problem? Any ideas, suggestions, modifications? Okay, so I think that's what we're doing. We're going to create Google Docs. Jordan from Google agrees, so that's good. It sounds like we have general agreement. All right, so per Drew's suggestion, we're going to, as we start filling out these discussion documents, we're going to do them as Google Docs, and then we'll keep a list of Google Docs that are open on the wiki pages. Okay.
And then, Jonathan, this is Drew again.
Yes, sir.
So how do you recommend choosing between the two types of worksheets? So I think for the questions we have for our group, they might fit best into the research analysis worksheet rather than the hypothesis one. But is it your, are you thinking that after going through the research one, then maybe people would develop hypotheses and then start utilizing that sheet, or
that's
what are your thoughts?
Yeah, good question. I think that the first one, the hypothesis worksheet, is sort of the primary one that will drive drafting. And so I think the goal is always to get to that template. And it was Jordan's observation that we might be doing a lot of work that isn't hypothesis-driven but simply data or research product-driven. And so this is meant to be kind of a conduit to multiple hypotheses worksheets. So particularly in your team where there's this big reading list and you're looking at a particular document, part of how you can evaluate it is which of several hypotheses that it addressed and sort of what it said about them, and then later we break up those hypotheses to look at them individually. So that's kind of how I see the documents being used, is you would use the other one that we were just looking at before first, if you're just looking at a research product that's either already out there or just data that you're looking at without a planned hypothesis. And once that's filled out, you can see that there's several hypotheses along the bottom of it that then, this then becomes one of many research products that then feed into the hypothesis worksheet. So it's sort of a many-to-many relationship. Does that make sense to folks? Carlton, you asked if we can set them up to get automated update notifications. Do you mean from the Google Docs? Yeah, I mean that could get brutal on email if you're getting email updates every time somebody makes a modification to one of those Google Docs. But it sounds like people are. Jordan may be about to say that you can digest them and maybe get them once a week or something like that. Oh, Jordan said you can subscribe to getting the updates. So should we leave that up to individuals to do then? I know there was a digest feature on groups,
yes.
But I didn't know
if
it was.
This is true. Yeah, I think so. We're not bombarded with even more email. We should leave that up to individuals.
All right, so choose the ones that you want to subscribe to get updates on. Any other questions about that? I think we have a way forward. All right, cool. So these are the templates we'll use, and we will modify them as they, whenever they fail, to accommodate the incoming data or description of the hypothesis. Okay. All right. So next on the agenda is talking a little bit about the application evaluation. Part of our work, and one of the things that is front and center to that that's very time sensitive, so I thought we would actually go through it a little bit on the call, is the applicant cohort survey. So if you recall, Aliza and I had a discussion with Andrew Mack about next steps and kind of reached the conclusion that just handing this list that AM Global generated over to a Nielsen-type company, you know, wouldn't get us the best possible results out of that because there's probably going to be a lot of negotiating to find the right person and things like that, and they would have very low turnout. And so we've been going back and forth with Andrew, and I've gotten some feedback. Thank you very much, Carlton and Watto and I think Carlos, on the, who looked at these questions as they went back and forth, and this is kind of where we ended up in terms of kind of a conversational version of the interviews that AM Global are going to begin to do with these applicant cohorts. And if you saw, there was a plan that was circulated earlier that involves while they're continuing to compile new names from Asia and the Middle East, they are going to begin to survey the cohorts that they have already identified in Africa and Latin America, and with a goal objective of getting 30 responses basically in the next couple of months here. The biggest concern I think that they have in talking to them is that everyone's just going to say, we don't know what you're talking about, and then the survey will die. And so a lot of this is about trying to find the right person and trying to ask the questions in such a way that aren't too leading. So I thought I would take you through this document because what I want to do is give AIM Global the go-ahead to start asking this question rather than later. So that's why I thought I'd go ahead and make it a discussion topic for today. So if you recall, obviously the applicant cohort survey was based on Jordan's recommendation that we try to identify the kind of categories of entities that applied for new strings and then go out and find those categories of people in the developing world in an attempt to understand why we didn't get more applications from the developing world. And there's been some feedback based on the list that AIM Global provided. They presented a preliminary set of results that had a lot of brands in it. So several people provided feedback about tourism in particular and clubs and things that might, like sports leagues that may have done verticals, et cetera, and also so some other areas where investment might have occurred. I mean, one of the biggest sort of difficulties is trying to find an analog to somebody like Donuts in the cohort side, because it's a group that sort of came together just for this. So they've got a list of names, and they're going to expand it a little bit, and this is the beginning of a survey. So as you can see at the top, the two key questions basically are, is what kept you from applying, and are these factors anything that ICANN can do anything about? And so that was sort of the overreaching, overarching question for the survey, that, you know, sort of why didn't the people that they're talking to apply and you know, trying to determine what could be done about it, because it could be, as Drew suggested, that there were other market priorities. It could be, as Steve Crocker suggested, that there was insufficient technical expertise to run a registry. And so all of those things could have been reasons that didn't have anything to do with ICANN's efforts. Or it could have been they didn't hear about it, or the process was too complex, et cetera. So we'll talk about that. Carlos, you've got your hand up.
Yes, this is Carlos. Thank you, Jonathan. Talking about these issues, we had a short presentation by ICANN staff last Monday in the Lacralo meeting on these regional results for Latin America. Now that you mentioned the donuts, it was very, very interesting to see that half of the Latin American based GTLDs were based in Panama. So I haven't been able to get the data. I asked for the data from Daniel Fink, who did the presentation. But I would assume that companies based in Panama is not because they have a big business in Panama, so there might be a link with the case of donuts that you just mentioned. I'm waiting for further information on the Latin American data, and I will be glad to share it. Just that note on the donuts analogy. I would assume that there are some investors based in Panama that will look like donuts. Thank you.
Okay, great. That could be interesting. So thanks, Carlos. So it's probably that's probably going to be a fairly unique case. I mean, I think just identifying a investment group that may have decided to do this is going to be difficult generally, but it'd be great if you can find some. And it looks like there's all kinds of things happening in the chat. Would it be helpful to AIM Global if those of us who can help with IDing people to talk with share the info? Carlton, certainly. If you know of folks that were considering applying or something like that, but didn't, I think that would be very interesting. I don't know what kind of context you're thinking of, so, so I've sent you names that I know. Okay, Carlton, do you want to just are you on audio? Okay, all right. So when you say you've sent them through, I guess send them to me. So that I have them, and I'll make sure that they're in front of AIM Global, because I'm not positive what it was that you're talking about. So, let me know the ones that you have, and I'll make sure that I get them into your hands, into AIM Global's hands. Okay. Okay. So then this survey is then looking at a couple of different areas. One is awareness. Did they know anything about the new GTLD program? And if so, what did they know? And then barriers. What barriers did they face, which sort of fell into three categories: the cost, either the initial cost or the ongoing cost, the complexity of the idea, the application process, or even just of running a registry, or is it a business model problem? They didn't have a clear idea of how this could benefit them. But didn't know how they would make money from it. So those are some of the kinds of things that they'd be trying to have in the discussion. You know, possible uses, attractiveness of the idea, if they considered the idea, what might have been some of the possible approaches, and then advice. What advice might they have for us if we have more TLDs? you know, what were the best ways to reach people. This sort of gets to Carlton's issue about radio and things like that, if there was an outreach problem, what kind of questions we're looking to answer, you know, try to get people's feedback about how to get them engaged. So there's a set of questions if they did hear about the program but decided not to apply. And then there's a set of questions here if the answer was no, trying to get some hypotheticals answered about whether or not this sounds interesting to them generally, and throwing out some examples of why it might, just to get some kind of feedback if they're not even aware of you know, what some of the ideas have been for the uses of TLDs. And then again, some recommendation on getting the word out. Are there questions about this? Take a second. I think everybody has scrolling ability. Take a second and look through this rather than having me just read it to you. Those are sort of the categories of questions they were going to ask, and they're going to be fairly informal conversations as opposed to a rigorous sort of quantitative survey, because we're just not going to get the kind of numbers that we need. Carlos, is that a new hand? So any other comments on the on these questions, because I'm going to reach back out to AIM Global and tell them to go forward and start making calls. Presumably this will start to again be a little bit dynamic based on how those calls go.
Hey, Jonathan, this is Drew. What did you think of, what did you think of incorporating questions about, if they did not go forward because everyone in their country, uses mobile devices and domain names they don't think are as important on mobile devices, or they use apps or some of those alternative things we talked about? Because I did a markup that I sent out that included questions such as that. But I only put them in the comments just because I wasn't sure if what everybody's thoughts were on that.
So this is something I'm happy to discuss further. But part of the issue is how leading to be, right? So I think that the idea is to be open to that answer to the question, and that's sort of meant to be about the business model side of things, is where that's supposed to fall through. The question is the degree to which we should be giving that to them as a kind of multiple choice question on the thing that then they then latch on to. So part of the issue here is not being too leading in the questions, but being open to those responses. And I may have missed it. If you have additional questions that should be asked, if that's their answer, then I missed that. Is that the case?
I sent a document, I don't know, a few days ago. I can resend that to you, individually. But then, along those lines, instead of business model, I'm just trying to think of, a question that's more audience oriented. So on the one hand, maybe their business, you know, this isn't how they, do business, but maybe there would be a perception that their audience, it wouldn't reach their audience. A new GTLD or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something, end user focused. And like,
yeah,
said,
I guess
make sure we're not leading.
Mark, I equate that with market, I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead,
sorry. Maybe I'm missing the market question. Where is that?
Well, I mean, that's sort of business model. That if you don't see a market. So we can just add a bullet that says
For market. Yeah,
no,
that'd be fair.
Market. All right. Let me make a note, please. Okay. And then Calvin, you've got your hand up.
Yes. When it comes to costs, the questions on costs there, I would probably differentiate between capital and ongoing running costs.
So the distinction that we ended up with was the distinction between the the application cost, $185,000, which then ties into a set of questions about applicant support and the ongoing cost. So were you suggesting that distinction, or just sort of like money in the bank versus a revenue question? What distinction were you trying to draw?
Yeah, that first distinction that you mentioned, I didn't see it in this document in front of me, but I might just be missing it.
Yeah, up under barriers, you go back up to the top. If they knew but decided not to go forward, cost and ongoing cost.
Got it.
Sorry, what did you say?
Yes, I got it. So it is there. I was just looking at the program costs, yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Calvin. Any other comments? So basically, they're going to go forward with this discussion template, and I've asked for them to kind of provide feedback after they've had a few conversations, and then we'll make modifications as we go. But we wanted to just get some questions going sooner rather than later. And Carlton, I'll look for your response. I forwarded everything from that thread on to AM Global, so it could be that Andy's got it. But I'll go back and find your email on that. Any other questions about this project? All right. Okay. So this is a big part of what we're doing. We're also have a set of survey questions for applicants. The folks that did apply. So this will include the people that applied and dropped out. This will be the people that applied, went all the way to delegation and dropped out. So all those different variations are not part of this survey. They're part of the other survey, which is the applicant survey. There's a little sub-team that's working on that survey, and the questions from that are going to have relevance to potentially all three of the sub-teams here. And so that was just expanded to include some questions about PICs. I don't know the answer. Alice, do you know if Aliza at some point kind of circulated the current incarnation of the applicant survey to the whole group? I don't even remember anymore whether I got that individually or whether it got circulated to the whole group.
I don't think it was circulated to the whole group. Antonietta, can you confirm?
I'm sorry, say that again, you can confirm?
No, I was just saying I don't think it was circulated to the whole group. I was asking Antonietta if she has any input on that, because Antonietta works on with Elise.
Yes, hi, Alice. I'm actually not sure if that was circulated.
Oh. Okay. Thanks, Antonin and Alice. So there is an evolving applicant survey, we will circulate it to the whole group shortly if we haven't. Decided that it was getting robust enough that we should probably coordinate with the PDP folks, the subsequent procedures PDP folks, to see if there's questions they want to modify or see additions hopefully not letting the that process go on too long or letting the survey get too long. But that's where we are in that process. So we have a proposal from Nielsen, which looks reasonable to survey applicants, and we have a working survey. So let's just make an action item to circulate that within the next week, Alice and Antoinette, if we can. Okay, thank you. So then, as far as like the next steps for the application evaluation process, maybe you can pull up the app and eval task list. We can look at it quickly. Oh, I don't think it's this. This was our discussion document in the face-to-face, but we generated, I think, a task list from this. I just wanted to remind everybody this document existed, and that your names are next to some items on it. I guess it might be part of the plenary task list if we don't have a separate application evaluation task list.
Jonathan, I'll get that up in just a second. That I do have. Oh, Alice has it.
Okay.
I have one that's a little bit more expanded. Hold on. Sorry that it cut off, but it's extensive, but that should help.
Right. So here's the document, and then I guess if you can put the link to this up in chat.
It's already up there, but I'll add it again.
Yeah, I see it there now. Thank you. As you can see, there are a number of plenary things. In fact, I think that, Jordan, not to put you on the spot, but one of the things you were going to do was issues with rounds, and now I can't even remember if you circulated that. Did you circulate it as a document for comment yet?
Yeah, no, I haven't done that yet, but
okay.
I'll add that to my backlog.
Sorry, that wasn't to put you on the spot about doing it as much as somehow I had it in my head that you had talked about it in an email, so that's why I was But so that's on here. I don't have scrolling ability on this task list, so it's sort of there we go, thank you. So we had finalizing funding requests, et cetera. I'm going to need to break this out into the application eval because it's sort of like merged in this document. So I'm going to, I think, create a separate task list that's on application and eval that's half of the items in here. But as you can see from this document, if you wow, things just went crazy. You can see from this your names are associated with a number of these different issues. And so there are I guess you can see the meetings that resulted in the action item. and then who was assigned to it as well. Is that in this link that you're showing us? I don't know who's showing this now. Is this you, Alice?
No, this is
Hi, Jonathan. This is actually Tamris.
Yeah, this is I'm sharing my page, and I'm trying to figure out how to get it open so you can see the whole. This is the complete document. When it is open, there is a toggle button on the wiki page. There's a toggle button down at the bottom that allows you to slide right and left. And you can see that there are assignments here. Unfortunately, I can't. It's a large document, so unfortunately, I've not been terribly successful getting it all on one page. But yes, there are assignments. And
Pamela, if you decrease your menu box on the left, you should be able to see the whole page.
Okay, we'll have to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so they're color coded.
Yes. And the blue.
So you can see.
Alice is saying, are application and evaluation.
Right. Excellent. So, folks, please take a look at this document, and I'm going to be going through it and reaching out to people individually as well. But take a look at these documents for anything that's got your name on it. Do a search on your name and try and get it done. And also the link, Carlos, is just above in the chat. Alice did it. It's up there at the top. Take a look at this and try and give me an indication of when you think you'll get the task done that you've got on this list. I don't want to just go through this name by name now, but I will next time. So please go through the blue rows and find your name and get back to me, and I will be getting in touch with you as well for the things that are that are still due. Okay. So that's right, Calvin. So take a look through this document, please. Get back to me with updated dates, and I'll be reaching out to you as well. So let's get on top of these tasks. I think that's it for application evaluation. Calvin, is that an old hand, right? All right, great.
One note, Jonathan, also
please
email the staff when you make changes. There's a note at the top of the page. If you would please email the staff list so that we know when you've made changes. Thank you.
Okay. I'll try to compile those maybe and send you one email. All right. Any other questions about that? We're going to... as Drew mentioned in his presentation, he's put out a list of discussion papers, and for feedback, please get back to him on those discussion papers. His next step, in the absence of volunteers, will be people being voluntold on those sections, and I'm going to begin to do that same process on the application of eval of coming up with the discrete discussion papers for the application evaluation, and I will circulate that and for volunteers, and in absence of volunteers, make some suggestions there. Okay? All right.
Jonathan, this is Drew. I was just going to chime in.
Yes, sir.
For ours, our discussion paper topics mirror our existing groups, so the approach I'm going to do is assign people to papers, and then people can let me know if they want to switch papers within, you know, by the end of the week or something, just so that way I'm at least hopefully matching up interests already and we don't have to wait until everybody volunteers for specific things. We make sure every paper has enough team members.
Great. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay. We're on to any other business. Alice, you want to talk about the upcoming meeting?
Yes. An announcement was posted to the list today to let you know that we're having the meeting in Vienna in August, on August 29th and August 30th. So the constituency travel team will be in touch with you to make your booking arrangements. And please send a note to CTTRC if you need a letter of invitation for your visa procedure. Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay. Anybody else have any other business? Okay, so I'm giving you a half hour of your life back. I'm hoping you'll use it, because you've already agreed to give it to us, is to go and look at these to-do lists and go back through your emails and find the things that people have requested comments on, and please try to spend the next half hour reading things that have been circulated to the list for comment and provide feedback. So I'm hoping that my inbox will be full of people's observations in the next 38 minutes. Okay? Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you on the sub-team calls next week.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you.